have some down there next to you. Now, 5 p.m. Tuesday, June 19th, 2018. Call the Ladies and Means Committee meeting of the City of Long Palm to order. And acknowledge that the press and the public have been duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. Next on the agenda is approval of the previous meeting's minutes. Is there a motion to approve the regular meeting and the special meeting of May 15th?
So moved.
Second.
Any comments? There being none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item number three, citizens' comments. Any citizens like to comment? We don't bite. You wouldn't mind coming up to the podium? Give us your name and where you live.
Hey, glad to be here. Congratulations on all the new terms as well. So, but anyway, I'm Marshall DePass. Live on 26th Avenue on Isle of Palms. I'm here actually for support for Kyle Busey, and I think everyone received an email from Kyle. It didn't go through on the city website, and we figured that out today. So, sorry about that, but. Anyway, I'll turn it over to Kyle, and he can explain to everyone. You did? Did you see Sunday?
No,
today. Today? Yeah. It was actually sent Friday, and then again Sunday, and then individually today. So, but anyway, Kyle has a unique situation with Carolina Salt Surplus, since he's been doing it for 7 years, and has a contract with Wild Dunes to do board rentals within Wild Dunes and surf lessons within Wild Dunes. Everything is actually done on commercial property. Wild Dunes is property. Wild Dunes is 150% behind it. And Will Smith from Wild Dunes is here today as well. This is not an open resource to be done at Front Beach at 25th, 31st, 6th Avenue. It's at Wild Dunes, Grand Pavilion, on their property and backed by their marketing and everything else. His insurance covers that as well. It's fully insured, bonded, and licensed. I think the biggest thing is, I run the Eastern Surfing Association also and have for 10 plus years. And I've seen what kids can do when they just get a surfboard. And it's not fun to just have a kid that's turned loose with a surfboard. It becomes a weapon, more or less. You've got so much force from a wave and a board that comes back at their face or somewhere else. So, that's a danger as well as just the ocean itself. So, Kyle does small groups as well. It's not large groups of 10, 12, 15 or so kids. And these are actually tourists that are vacationing at Wild Dunes. And I can't stress enough of commercial business on commercial property and Wild Dunes. So, but anyway, I'll quit jabbering. I'll let Kyle tell you a little bit.
You guys are in for it now.
Yeah.
I appreciate his intro. I'm not good at public speaking, if you can't, already tell. Basically, I'm just trying to bring this wonderful sport, as many of you are surfers in your own right, trying to bring it to Isle of Palms, but keep it within reason. I think the whole goal for everyone here is to kind of keep the integrity of Isle of Palms. No one wants to open up the floodgates to everybody else. And that's kind of why, 5-6 years ago, I recognized Wild Dunes as kind of that door. And, I know you probably know this, but there's a huge demand for it out here. And if done in the right fashion, in the right way, it's a wonderful thing to have. I think everybody's aware of what happened in the past. I think most people are aware 10, 15 years ago, but times have changed. I'm not that person. I don't wish to be that person. I just tend to do things the right way, stay in good graces with the city, and work together, that's all. So, any questions? Yes, sir.
There's really no response. You could speak under the issue, but the rules of order, there's no response to the citizen's direct response.
So my question then is directed at Desiree. Do they currently hold a business license with the city?
I would defer that to Douglas. Can you?
They do for surfboard, for equipment rental, not for lessons on the beach.
So what does that mean? If they generate revenue from lessons, does the city?
So the problem that they're running into is that the city's code does not allow any commercial activity, services, trades, anything on the beach without being granted either a franchise by city council or the activity being deemed a city-sponsored event. So in order to do anything out on the beach, they would need to be authorized by you all by one of those two avenues.
So is the intent here to try to get them in compliance or for the city council to address the issue and make a decision?
I believe what they're asking, and I didn't get the email, I'm not sure, but I would assume what they're asking is for approval under one of those two provisions, either that you will authorize it as a city franchise or you approve it as a city sponsor event.
Do we not approve the Windjammer volleyball tournaments as a city sponsored event?
Yep, you do.
In your opinion, is this anything somewhat different?
I think that in my personal opinion, the city-sponsored events has been really kind of a one-time, you know, a day or a date. This to me sounds like an ongoing, I think what they want is kind of an ongoing agreement that they would get approval for you for some term of time and then go to work. So in just looking at the situation, I would think that the franchise agreement would be the appropriate tool to use.
So, questions.
Who's next? Yes, ma'am.
So, having lived through this before, which is literally like an unforgettable, like I'm literally having post-traumatic stress syndrome right now. So, the problem, and I mean, we did this. This is all, we went through this whole thing, this whole exact scenario, is if we allow the franchise, then you must allow everybody who wants to do lessons of some nature or other businesses the same. You have to allow them the same thing, you know, the same option for their business. So you can't play favorites. So that's why we ended up running the whole thing before through the rec center, and it became literally an Isle of Palms surf camp.
But we play favors with food trucks or certain city-sponsored events, right?
Well, this is on the beach, beach.
But the question is, we play favors with food trucks.
Don't we have beach chair rentals on the beach?
Yeah.
Are they on a franchise?
No. So a delivery is legally a different situation. You know, we do not consider Domino's when they bring a pizza to your house and drop it. We don't call that commercial activity. That is a simple delivery. What they're doing, you know, what they would like to do is be out in the surf for day and doing part of their work. So beach chairs, you know, they've kind of gotten to their own little area through a long convoluted history, but that's been how they've operated. That we have not deemed a delivery as commercial activity.
Chair. Mr. Chairman, if I may, I mean, this is obviously this is a lot of discussion here that's not on the agenda, but I would recommend that this go to a committee selection, whether it's real property or public safety, as long as it's not recreation.
Good idea.
But the thing is, I think another thing you have to realize is, while you said, Douglas, is we don't allow it, we have made amendments to allow photography on the beach as well. So that's one of the things we're going to have to look at is, and that's for specific times as well. But
and I would say the last.
Can I make one
problem we had was under a different code.
Correct, yeah.
The council specifically wrote the language into the code to give you that authority.
Just getting away from us. And there's some people that we need to officially put it on agenda.
Yep.
So that the public will know 24 in advance we're going to be talking about this.
Yeah.
This is why I made the original comment about citizens' comments.
Right.
That we just listen.
Okay.
Because before you know it, we get ourselves in trouble.
Yeah, sure.
I got it.
Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
We'd
love to carry it on further because we do have.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely
examples
agree
of
with
photography
Ryan,
and windsurf or
Ryan,
you know, all of that other stuff.
Suggestion to get, we'll get it on public safety.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks. Any other citizens' comments? For July. There being no other comments, we'll move on to financial statement presentation by Treasurer Debbie Sooks.
All right, what we have are the May financial reports to review. So 11 months into the city's fiscal year. Just a heads up for you new folks, we're not going to be done next month. This time we'll have lots of transactions still to process. And the way cutoff works for the city's fiscal year is any revenues received through August that pertain to FY18 activity will be accrued back into FY18. So that's why the books don't get closed until August, September. And then the audit will happen. And we usually have an audited financial statement by the holidays. So that's the goal. But we'll be talking about FY18 for several more months. As of right now, general fund revenues are at 83% and expenditures are at 86%. Drilling down into the revenues, property taxes are almost exactly on budget, and I think there'll be no question we'll make budget there. Local option sales tax are currently at 75%, but that's one of the key revenues that kind of have a lag time. So we have 3 months to collect, and if you look at the 3 months from last year, that would be some $220,000. So we'll be fine on local option sales tax. We'll probably beat the budget. Business licenses, you can see we're already 12% ahead of the budget. The renewals were due. They became delinquent on May 1st. But we had a lot of May renewals. If they were postmarked by April 30th, they were accepted as current. We also had 5 new houses permitted in May. So that generates a lot of business license activity, as well as, of course, building permit activity, which you can see is already 20% ahead of budget. So those two line items are just indicative of the strong economic activity on the island this year. Rental licenses are almost flat, a little bit below last year. Other licenses are only at 9% of budget, but that's because this line item is made up of things like the SCENG franchise fee, which is a six-figure number that comes in the last day of the month or the first day of July, as well as municipal. The Municipal Association collects insurance license fees for us, broker's fees, and we get those checks at the end of the year too. So I think we'll be fine on that line item, even though it looks concerning there. The state, we're at 68%. State revenues typically come in quarterly, so we have the final quarter to collect, and I think we'll be good there. Parking, we are a little bit below last year. We'll talk some more about that in a few minutes. But overall, I think we're in good shape revenue-wise. General fund expenditures, the target would be 92%. We're at 86%. All the departments are at or within their target. The mayor and council line is a little ahead. A couple of key factors. Health insurance, of course, the budget was based on the makeup of people who were taking health insurance this time last year, and that makeup has changed. We bought new, had to get new letterhead for the changes of council. The chief's retirement event, all of that hit in the mayor and council loan, so that explains that overage. But we're still in good shape, and I think we'll end the year slightly under budget. Although I do want to say, because I've just noticed it, and it's a trend that we might see more of, the fuel line items in some of the larger departments are trending ahead of budget, which is very unusual. And we did not budget an increase in fuel rates for next year, so we'll have to be aware that that we may see some overages in that because fuel prices are increasing.
Isn't it still 425 a gallon? what is it, really, seriously? Because we over budget at. We put that in, seriously, because it's way high.
I think the budget now is much less than that. I think at times we have budgeted 425, but I don't think we're budgeting that now.
No, we don't go by, you know, what the market is.
Well, we get a discount.
Yeah.
I mean, we buy in bulk, so we don't pay.
We'll talk later about that, but we've always covered that. And they're going up.
Right.
Right now.
I know. That's what I'm worried about, that we might not have budgeted enough, but we'll be okay. The cash position, you can see we've got a little over $12 million as of May 31st. But I'm happy to report that we received $1,856,000 from FEMA in June. So that number's not reflected there. That's all related to the beach project. And we still have $800,000-ish to come related to the Matthew work. So if you'll recall, we had borrowed money from the Disaster Recovery Reserve Fund and the Capital Projects Fund to make the final payments to Great Lakes Dock and Dredge for the project. But as of this week, we've repaid the Disaster Recovery Fund fully and are working on paying back the Capital Projects Fund. So as soon as we get the rest of the FEMA money, we'll make the Capital Projects Fund whole again. We'll be good. And we can talk some more about that on the project worksheet as well. So any questions on the overall picture?
The business license, mm-hmm. Since it changed from being due on January 31st to April 30th, do you have any idea what the percentages that businesses take advantage of that February, March, April, those months to pay?
Well, we had a very strong May. I think people waiting as late as they possibly can to pay. So I would say it's a pretty high percentage, but I don't know exactly.
Yeah. Well, they don't have any money in January.
Yeah. One other quick question. You said rental license is flat to a little bit down.
Mm-hmm.
Should we not be looking much harder at the change in the paradigm around rentals, VRBO, Airbnb, and take that up as a serious consideration? Because I find it very difficult to believe that the actual amount of rental properties is decreasing on this island or being held flat.
We could certainly dig into it. And I have suspected, and I think I've mentioned this before, that in the BS&A transition, maybe some rental licenses got recorded as business licenses because they are really just a hybrid business license. But I have never dug into that to see if that actually occurred.
Top to bottom, including the code, because the preventative measures are around the penalties for non-compliance, not, you know, hey, did we catch you? And by the way, the cost of being caught is way less than the cost of compliance. And I just think, you know, every city's had to look at it. We can go online right now and find a tremendous amount of property with no addresses attached to this for rent on this island. And I think it's time we probably take that up and look at it as a serious revenue issue.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
That's what Randy is saying. I mean, you've got so many rental companies here on the island, but Airbnbs are not on the island. They're out there in the internet. And so we're not capturing those. So that's and it's moving and it's growing yearly. So it's a good suggestion.
And you remind me, also in June, the city received $128,000. A one-time settlement related to online travel companies and their not they hadn't previously been paying the appropriate business license fee. So that will be in addition to that business license fee.
Okay, any other questions on general? Move on to municipal accommodations fee.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to mention one thing real quick. The single audit, the work associated with the single audit is the term used for the federally mandated audit of federal programs over, I think it's $750,000, which our beach project triggered that. Our existing auditors do the work in accordance with the federal guidelines, and they have done that field work, and I think everything's fine. They'll wrap it up at the same time they're here for the year-end audit. It was a fairly easy process because the expenses were, you know, focused on four or five invoices, and we had, you know, three or four payments from FEMA, so it wasn't a hard amount of work for them. Okay, Muni ATAX. You can see we received the May payment, which was a little less than May last year. We'll have to see how June comes up. There oftentimes can be some timing issues related to these revenues, but we're still 2% ahead of last year. Charleston County, we've talked about before. We've received everything we're going to receive from the county, but they've advised us that next year we should see more, and the budget is exactly what they told us they're going to give us. State ATAX, we've received three of the four quarters for the year, and we're 4% ahead. You would expect the state ATAX and the Muni ATAX percentage-wise to be the same increase. It's a different time period here, but when the year is done, they should be similar, because they're based on the same exact accommodations revenues, meaning payments made by people who spend the night. Hospitality tax, we're 4% ahead of this time last year. Again, May was a little less than a May of FY17. And the thought just occurred to me, because I've been talking to people about parking. Apparently, we had a very kind of wet May. Mm-hmm. So that might explain why we're seeing some of these numbers that are tourism related. Take a day.
Let us May in history. I mean, literally. Wait, drop out.
Okay, then the beach preservation fee, again, this is a mirror of the Muni ATAX schedule. So we're 2% ahead of last year. Then the last graph is local option sales tax, which is more indicative, not necessarily of tourism, although tourism funds would be, are also taxed with the sales tax. But this would include all other economic activity on the island, and we're 5.4% ahead of this year, this time last year. Okay. So, any questions on all of that stuff? All right, so let's talk parking, kiosks. First of all, this is an internal schedule that I keep to reconcile the data from the Parkeon, which the kiosks talk via the internet, and all that transaction level data is up there in the cloud, and I can pull it down and sort it and add it up. And so that's what I use to compare to the bank statement deposits. And I did want to give, I'm afraid I gave people the wrong idea. There are some differences. There's a cumulative difference, but that cumulative difference agrees almost exactly to the first couple deposits of the next month, as it should. So there's no issue with cash collections. Everybody, please be clear on that. That's what I tried to do with the check mark and my initials, but I think I missed the boat. We'll have a different schedule going forward. But what I wanted to do was show y'all the impact, because I thought you needed to know, on the decline in the lot revenues from last summer to this summer. You'll recall that the last summer we had an $8 daily rate during the week and a $10 daily rate for the weekend. We changed that to a dollar per hour in the lots this year. Streets did not change. They were $150 last year, $150 this year. And the majority of the 11 of the 18 kiosks are on the street. So you can see this change, which concerned me a little bit, but I kind of felt like it was related to the change in the rates. Offsetting that is new revenue from the hotel, which we did not have last summer, which is a good thing because that helps lessen the impact. But then after talking with Jimmy Ward and Randy Bell, there were questions about timing, like how many days from last summer are we comparing to how many days of this summer, and what did the transactions do?
Totally.
Because this is just tracking dollars, which is different from number of transactions. So here is an updated schedule.
When you say summer, are you really talking about from May or April?
So last year, the period of time we're talking about was March 20th, when I went back and looked, March 20th through the end of May. This year, we opened the kiosks on March 1st. So this year actually has more days in it. It has more days in it, but less dollars. So what this schedule does is backs out March 1 through 19 from this year to give an apples-to-apples comparison to last year. So you can see what the dollars do. Street dollars are about flat, which makes sense because everybody seems to agree that the kiosks on the street or the spots on the street fill up fastest and stay full all the time. But then the drop-off occurred in the lots. But then you can look down and see the number of transactions. So the street transactions are, again, basically flat, but the lot transactions are down by 27%. So that means traffic, you know, the number of people who are trying to park is down by 27%. Presumably due to the very wet spring. So even though there is a significant decline in the lots, approximately half of it relates to just weather. It would have happened anyway. Everybody clear on that? So we'll keep our eye on it, and I'll continue to report on it every month.
Yes.
Parking ticket revenue, where does that go?
So parking ticket revenue does not,
right?
It goes through the court revenue line.
Court revenue line. Thank you.
You would expect that may increase because of the change in the parking lot fare. Keep in mind the variable that we also extended the season from the previous year, mm-hmm. and how you measure that spring and fall and when mm-hmm. that kicked in.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Another reason, I mean, we reduced that dollar amount per hour to help our businesses. But at the same time, I think I've been hearing from a couple of our businesses that maybe we could go up a little.
Go ahead.
I mean, the local option sales tax number is up. So that's, and you know, so that's a business generated revenue. So, you know, maybe it's helping the businesses.
Hospitality is at 4%.
Right.
Maybe people don't like the hourly rate and finding another place to park.
Maybe.
It's better.
It doesn't matter. If they don't like the hourly rate, they want to spend the whole day.
It's still better.
But it's not always what people make decisions based on.
Well, we're going to look at it at the end of the year.
At this point, I think we need to give it the whole summer.
I would think it needs adjustment up, but I'm not going to. ready to scrap the whole hourly rate.
Me neither.
Until, we've only got 3 months in this, well, it's spring, I can remember, 32 years.
Yeah.
Do we have money for an ARC?
No matter how you slice it, the hourly rate is a better deal. So I'm surprised transactions aren't up. But what about the bridge thing? Do we?
Yeah, the bridge too.
Did that have had an impact on?
Those 2 to 3 weeks.
I mean, we had a long period where it's more difficult for people to get over.
We need more data.
Memorial Day.
That's like a good call.
Yeah,
Memorial Day.
Thanks, Memorial Day. Debbie, it was very helpful.
Memorial Day rained the whole weekend.
Okay, we'll continue. Yes, ma'am.
Just one last question up here, Debbie, on your cash differences. So if I look at May cash and coin in the bank, and it says $28,000, the $3,700 from the previous month is in that 28, correct?
Okay, back up. I'm sorry, I wasn't.
Okay, we're in the March, April, May mm-hmm. cash and coin collections versus cash difference. Mm-hmm. So if I look at April and we're at 22,000, then May we're at 28,000. But what you're saying is the last couple of days it was not reflected mm-hmm. in that May, so it would go into June mm-hmm. or whatever the month is.
But it happens every time.
Right.
So it's not like you're going to see it flip-flop from month to month, if that's what you're thinking.
Well, I'm looking at March was at 10, and there's only like a $52 difference. But that 52 would be in the next month.
Right.
And the same way for the following. So when I look at 28, you expect mm-hmm. about 4,000 of that 28 is from the month before. So by the end of the year, that should all be equalized out. So what you're telling us is that when you look at what's in the bank and you add these all these days up, mm-hmm. that they match.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
They're not going to ever be to the penny.
Within like $82, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm.
Why don't they match?
It's just a huge number of transactions. And
yeah, but if you have a report from, I mean, a receipt, basically, from the parking kiosk thing, how could there be mistakes in that unless they, I don't know.
Well, let's call it their immaterial differences, okay. Which means
compared
$82 to over $61,000 is not what would be considered a problem.
Okay, but it's a cash business.
Right. Okay. And so the cash is lower than the receipts, right? But it could go either way.
Right.
It could go either way. You could have more cash than receipts. You know.
Okay.
And you know, they're machines, right? And they're talking in the cloud. So anything, any little snafu with that would could cause the data to be.
Just as long as you feel comfortable with it.
I'm 100% comfortable.
No cash problem. Okay.
Okay. Moving right along.
Okay. So beach restoration, not much by way of new expenses, but if you go to the second page of it, which is page 10 of the packet, I wanted to talk about how the funds are coming in. So you can see the total project spending to date is $14,240,000. With y'all's agreement, thinking that at the end of June we'll retire this schedule because hopefully by that time we will have received the rest of the FEMA money. The only thing that will be open is the post-project monitoring, which we have rebudgeted in next year. It's $200,000. So that will just be CSC billing us as necessary for that work. I don't think we would need to keep the schedule open for that small amount of money.
Sure, I agree. Yeah.
Okay. So you can see here, if we can take the 14,240 and say add 50,000 to it for expenses, and I'm thinking CSC invoices that we haven't received yet for the wrapping up of the project, you have 14,290 to cover, and this is how I think it falls out. So we're not going to have to use quite as much of the beach preservation fee as we thought. We certainly didn't have to borrow the $1,000,002. We're not getting as much FEMA Matthew money as we first estimated because we didn't have the level of expense that we first estimated. So bottom line is, this project is pretty much wrapped up. I think we're in a good position funding-wise. The beach preservation fee will pick up the plug, but not to the extent that we thought we were going to have to do a few months ago. So I consider that a win.
Yeah.
Is everybody okay with that?
You said you borrowed some money from disaster recovery?
Meaning to, but it's already paid back.
Paid back, okay. That's what I like to hear. Thank you.
Okay, drainage phase two. There have not been a lot of expenses associated with this. Well, take that back. There's a $200,000 invoice, construction payout number six, that did go out in May. So that project is continuing on. And we think, even though that this schedule shows a shortfall of $63,000, that is well within the contingency amount, so we think we'll be fine. Front beach restroom project renovation.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The contingency fund, we did have heard y'all talking about the what ifs in the Wild Dunes. We did have a problem down at the 41st and the harbor where they found pipes or on top of pipes.
Right.
Is all that taken into account?
Have we seen, I don't know that we've seen a
We haven't
change
received
order.
A change order from the engineer.
But
so
we approved it, right? Have we not approved that change order?
We approved the change order, but that was associated with Sundial Circle.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's been done. But as of the last one that you all have approved, we haven't received any additional change orders.
Okay. Thank you.
So the relocate water pipe, $29,000 at Sundial Circle?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay, front beach restroom. I think that work is completed, but we still have some invoices to receive. So and I don't know if we've paid all the Nature's Calling bills either, because that's coming out of the miscellaneous account, but by all accounts, we will be slightly below budget on that project, even given that there were some change orders and improvements to the metal doors. It does look good.
It looks great.
Took a picture. Okay, bulkhead rehab. I think that project is complete as well, right, Desiree?
Yes, the project is 100% complete. Last month, you all approved expenses associated with the restaurant, some work associated with the stairs that was not approved as part of one of the change orders that came before you. So the restaurant owner received lower estimates for the same work, and they fell within the procurement that was authorized, the purchasing agent would be able to authorize. And they were a lot less than what the contractor who did the marina bulkhead rehabilitation had quoted. So we approved those expenses, and that those were coming out of the contingency because there were funds available. And I think that they're undergoing that work as of now.
So Desiree, if I may, overall, we saved over $10,000 from the quotes.
From what had been presented to you all by the contractor versus what the restaurant owner was able to secure with a different company. Yes. And we knew that the contractor had another job that they needed to go once they completed the marina work. So we kind of understood why it was kind of higher than expected, and that's why it was recommended to you all not to approve it back then.
Okay. Anything else?
Not on that one question on the marina.
Go ahead.
Doesn't it have to be painted, or was there not a painting?
That is budgeted in FY19.
Okay.
And we are working in getting that that process started.
So it's not part of this
no.
schedule?
No.
Okay.
It's a different, it will be a different project.
Okay.
Okay, and the final project worksheet is the replacement of the underground fuel storage tanks, and no new activity on that.
Very good. Any questions for the treasurer? Anyone?
That's all I have.
Very good, thank you very much. All right, we're going on to new business. Item A, recommendation from the Public Safety Committee to contribute $1,000 included in the fiscal year 19 budget to Low Country Community Chaplaincy. And somebody has given me all the ins and outs about that, and I've forgotten who it was. Somebody in this room knows all about it.
Sure.
Desiree?
Okay, I can
yeah,
talk.
You're the one.
I'm in.
I saw that eye looking.
So this was recommended by Chief Graham. I think that the employees have worked for a long time with Chaplain Dewey. Am I pronouncing that right? Yep. Chaplain Dewey, and he has moved and created a different chaplaincy, which is called Low Country Community Chaplaincy. And Chief Graham had talked to Interim Chief Ustry about moving and using that chaplaincy for crisis and stress management. This came through the Public Safety Committee, and it was discussed and recommended that that the city would then redirect the funds, I guess a sponsor of $1,000, a sponsorship of $1,000, to be used with Low Country Community Chaplaincy rather than the other chaplaincy that was
very
used.
Much.
You're welcome.
A motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we contribute $1,000 in the fiscal year 19
second.
Budget to Low Country
second.
Community Chaplaincy.
Second. Randy, any further discussion?
Question.
Yes, sir.
Are members of the council eligible for this service? Keep that in mind, everybody.
Anything else?
I just want to say that this is included in the FY19 budget. We would just be changing the name. That's
clearly stated in
okay,
the budget.
Good.
That's very good. Any further discussion or comments? There being none, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. On to new business item B, recommendation from the ATAC committee for the city to sponsor the surf cam for the Carolina Coast Club in the amount of $1,000. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Good. Discussion. This is something we've done every year.
This is the fourth year of them making the request and being approved by council. And I think that we have their representative here if you all want to ask him any questions.
Questions. I don't have any questions. It's just something we usually do.
Yep.
We're glad to have you back at one of these times. So,
appreciate the service.
Discussion.
The $1,000 helps considerably to maintain our website with the surf cam and everything. It's almost $400 a month. So this helps tremendously.
All it's right, sir. Thank
sponsors.
You. All in favor?
Aye.
Any against? Motion passes. Thank you. Discussions of changes to the procurement code, ordinance 2018-11, red line. Desiree.
Yes, so these proposed changes have been discussed at staff level earlier this year. It never really made it in front of you all for discussion, and that's what we're doing. The changes are associated, basically there's a section that we'll be striking, we're proposing to strike out of the ordinance, and that just makes it so that it's consistent with the changes that were approved as part of the procurement changes and the procurement ordinance that was approved in February last year. So that's a little bit of housekeeping that we recognized after using the new procurement ordinance. And then we are proposing to you all for discussion, adding a couple of exceptions to procurement, competitive procurement requirements. One, it would be for the city to have the ability to procure, not competitively, a company or a firm to correct faulty work. It would just be an option for the city if it chooses to do so, to not have to bid construction or repair work. So that would be an exception. The other one is state contract pricing. We use that a lot. It typically, and I think it was part of the ordinance, we're just changing the language.
Right.
Of that, so it would allow us to just use state contract pricing without bidding it out. And also adding a section related to critical expenditures. And I asked Sterling today about this section to offer a little bit more clarity, because it sounded very similar to the emergency procurement that we have. But the emergency procurement really relates to public safety emergencies. We've used it when we've had to procure, issue a contract for the restoration of the berm after a hurricane. But this would mean more, not necessarily related to public safety, but critical issues that may not allow the city enough time to procure it competitively. So that is another inclusion of the proposed changes.
Any discussion,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
The question I would have is to go ahead and procure something for necessary for replacing faulty work or defective workmanship. Who is the designator of that, of what is defective, and who designates that something has been faulty or misdone? Because it seems like a loophole for a way to, anybody can come in and say, yeah, it's defective, we'll go ahead and give it to, you know, whoever. I just wondering who's the decider of what's defective.
I think one thing to keep in mind is, don't forget that the toggle amount for council approval of any contract is still with city council for anything over a certain number and that type of thing. But you're right. I mean, I guess if someone came in and said this is defective, but I think that that's really a decision that you all would be making, because this is to give you all flexibility in contracting. Yeah. And you're going to be the ones to decide whether or not you want to use this exception or not. You certainly don't have to. Okay. So,
I'd like to ask the administrator: is this for discussion only, or are you asking from council for a motion?
Well, if you all agree with the changes, we could have a motion and be presented at the city council for our first reading of an ordinance. But we have discussed it at staff level, but I don't think that you all have had the opportunity to talk about these proposed changes before it goes to first reading, and that was our intention.
Entertain a motion or not?
If you all are okay with these proposed changes, I think that would be
a motion to bring it
for first reading, and that would be for the next city council meeting.
Okay. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Further discussion? Yes, ma'am.
Just the critical to the city part of it, that's not really emergency, but critical, would that be like the server? Is that what you're thinking? Like, is that the
yes,
kind of thing
exactly.
that has made you think, mm-hmm. okay.
It's not really a public safety emergency,
right,
but it was critical.
But it's critical.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Because that's also a little vague, just what's, you know.
Any mm-hmm. other discussion? Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any against? Motion passes. Miscellaneous business none. Next meeting day, 5 p.m. Tuesday, July 17, 2018. Executive session is not needed. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So made.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait, what?
I think you all have an old agenda.
I'm missing a couple pages.
Yes, there's an item D under new business, discussion of changes to the scope of work of the boating infrastructure grant.
Oh. Where is that?
That is the agenda that's posted online.
Right.
We made this change on Friday afternoon, Chair Ward. You remember.
Happy hour?
I wasn't going to say it.
Friday
afternoon.
Read it again.
Okay, so it's item D under new business, discussion of changes to the scope of work of the voting infrastructure grant.
Okay, tell us what it's all about.
Okay, I'll tell you all about it.
Who's read this? Anybody? Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it was only on the agenda. There's no backup to this,
right,
other than what I'm going to share with you all.
Yeah, I remember that you're much qualified. So.
Okay, so earlier this year, you all recall that the city received notification that our application for the boating infrastructure grant was successful. And the total amount of that grant was roughly $70,000. We included that in the FY19 budget as grant income. The scope of that grant application included replacing the fuel dock, the fuel hut, the fuel dispensers, and the distribution lines to from the underground storage tanks to the where the fuel comes out. Before learning of the outcome of this application, we had executed a contract with Jones and Frank to remove and replace the underground storage tanks at the marina, and we have that in place. It was recommended by the engineer who's overseeing that project that the removal of the underground storage tanks should include replacing the fuel dispensers because they were in pretty critical shape. Therefore, we included that in the scope of the removal of the underground storage tanks. So right now, we are in a situation where we haven't yet been obligated, but we have received approval of this grant application that also included that portion of the fuel dispensers and the distribution lines. But no work can be done before the grant funds are obligated. And in terms of our timing and our schedule for the removal of the tanks, we're looking at the fall of this year to get that work done. So we've contacted SCDNR through ATM, who submitted the application on behalf of the city, about what options the city has. Because even though we have executed a contract that includes part of the boating infrastructure grant's scope of work, City Council, you all, could elect to remove the floating dock and the fuel dock and the fuel hut from the boating infrastructure grant and move forward with the replacement of the underground storage tanks with the fuel dispensers, which would yield the city $40,000 out of the $70,000. So instead of losing grant funding, because we've already executed a contract, we could just remove that portion from the boating infrastructure grant and we would lose roughly $30,000. But it's better than having nothing because it was part of the application.
Suggestion.
Yes.
You put that in writing, hard copy, mm-hmm. in every council member's box, and we'll move it to the regular city council meeting for the discussion. Yes, sir.
Sure.
But are we still waiting on a response from DNR whether or not we can still utilize it but and just set it back or portion of that? Because you said you'd contacted them. Or?
Yeah, so we could split it. Okay. We could remove the fuel hut and the fuel dock from the application.
Right.
And then they could obligate the portion associated with the dispensers.
Okay.
And do that this year.
Okay, got it.
What you're asking is could we just get the portion of the fuel dock later?
Correct.
That's a question we could ask.
I think the mix up here was that the mayor has been pushing to get these agendas out a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to you, and thanks to Marie, that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it got out Thursday afternoon.
And then we changed.
But then the change came later.
Well, we could bring this up at City Council.
We're here at City Council. Just get a hard copy of everybody's box, if you don't mind, or send a copy of email.
Okay.
So everybody can review it.
Mr. Chair,
is everybody in agreement?
Comment.
Yes, sir.
If I understand correctly, it's a timing issue and eligibility of funds. The goal should be to do all of it and maximize the grant.
Right.
And if that's the case, as you communicate back to us, as clear as that could be, would be helpful, I think.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Is there a bus in here? Did you just throw me under the bus?
No, I was thanking you for helping me as part of speeding up the process.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You want to try that motion again?
Yeah.
Let's do this again.
Yeah, okay, let's try it again. Okay. This name is not. Next meeting day, 5 p.m. Tuesday, July 17th. Executive session. Is there a motion for adjournment?
Yes, sir.
Second.
Second. Favor.
Aye.
55 minutes.